pocket to the shores of Orange Beach and all points in between. An insider's perspective on Alabama politics. It's the Jeff Poor Show.
I don't think Hank done it this way.
Welcome back to the Jeff Poor Show on FM Talk 106.5. Everyone is doing well. 6 minutes after the hour. Still to come on the program today, we'll talk to State Senator Chris Elliott. He'll join us for his weekly visit. So please make sure you stick around for that. Joining us now, for just a few moments here, I'm very pleased to welcome to the program Ed Henry, former state representative up in Morgan County, was the recipient of a pardon for President Donald Trump earlier this week. Ed, how are you this morning?
Doing well, sir. Starting to just getting back to work. You know, we had the excitement Tuesday night and Wednesday of being fortunate enough to receive the pardon from President Trump. And, you know, he recognized the political nature of my case. And I'm very thankful to him. I'll be grateful to him for, you know, rest of my life for what he did for me and my family.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, you were among 73 pardoned on Tuesday night. Tell us though, kind of the process that went into it. I can't even imagine where you would start, but how do you get to that point?
Well, we didn't either, right? I had you know, desired one, but didn't even know how to do the process, and close friend of mine up here, businessman Tom Fredericks, reached out to Congressman Brooks at a breakfast and just said, you know, I need you to look into working on a pardon for Ed Henry. And Congressman Brooks, you know, he knew the case, he had followed it, and I'd given him all kinds of information just about the lunacy of what they were claiming. And he agreed, and so he said, I've never done this before, but he started the process back in September and just trying to figure out how to do the pardon. And, you know, it's basically you just got to get enough people to kind of push it through the White House counsel. And Senator Tuberville got on board right after he got elected, and then Congressman Barry Moore from down in Enterprise, the second district, has known about the case from the beginning because he and I served in the House together, so he knew the entirety of it. And they started pushing, and we were in line to get the pardon, I was told, probably in December. And then all the chaos that ensued on January the 6th kind of changed the landscape. And I have a friend that works in the White House staff. I didn't know they were still there until all this started happening, but I was told that instead of the list getting longer, which is what typically happens on the last day of a president's term, the President Trump's list got shorter. And so at 9 p.m. on Tuesday night, I got a message from Congressman Brooks that he had just spoken with Donald Trump and my name did not make the 72 people that were getting a pardon. And Congressman Brooks asked President Trump to specifically look at my case and just the merits of what had gone on, despite White House counsel. And President Trump told him, said, I'll look at it, but it's probably too late. I don't think I can make it happen at this point. And so we were a little bit let down, but honestly, I felt a peace about it. This doesn't really define me, and I was ready to move on. And at 10 o'clock, I got a call back from Congressman Brooks and said, the President of the United States just called me and said, call Ed Henry, let him know he's a good guy, and I've got his pardon. And then it took 2 hours to actually pull all of that together. And at midnight, my phone started blowing up from different people around the country that I had received the last presidential pardon that Donald Trump gave. And had one guy in the White House tell me it may have been the very last thing that Donald Trump did while in office.
That's, it's really remarkable. I'll tell you, like, the way I stumbled upon it, you know, the list, and you go down the list, at the very, very bottom there was your name as soon as the list came out, and you had to scroll all the way down. But I got to think you get to let down, and then the news reverses itself. I think it's kind of a emotional roller coaster, huh?
I've been on an emotional roller coaster pretty much all of my life, so it was nothing. It was just another day in my life.
Well, for the sake of our listeners here down in Mobile, I think you filled in a few times for me while I was doing radio up in Huntsville. But where have you been? What are you doing these days?
So I do a little government affairs work, and we've got a few clients being another guy, and then I also went in with a few business partners, and we bought a sanitation company doing construction roll off dumpsters and commercial front load dumpsters, at businesses. And so here lately I have learned to weld, drive a truck, run excavators, just getting down, getting my hands dirty, and I love it. I had somebody ask me, how did you get into the sanitation business? So I said, well, when I was in politics, I was handling everybody's trash. Now I'm just handling everybody's trash in a different way.
Well, I've seen the reports. You kind of shut the door on politics for now, it looks like.
As far as me being the elected official, absolutely. I have no desire to be that guy again. I can't say that one day that there won't be enough people making themselves available and I'll end up in that position. But I would much rather the elected officials we have return to a liberty-minded mindset there and stop this foolishness of trying to run a nanny state like we have right now, where we've got this mask order extended. I'm sure Biden's going to continue to shut down businesses and just to destroy the economy. And hopefully our elected officials in Alabama will stand up and resist as much as possible, speak out, fight against it, draft legislation. We can resist the federal government if we have leaders with backbones, and hopefully they will. And listen, if they don't, you've got people out there listening in the audience that are liberty-minded and they're sick and tired of what they have for representatives and senators and they want to run against them, track me down. I'll teach you how to beat them.
Joined by former State Representative Ed Henry, I've listened to you and our mutual friend Dale Jackson have this debate several times about the mask mandate you just mentioned there. I wanted to get your reaction to this just because I know you've been so outspoken on it, but this emergency order, it just seems like it's never going to end.
Yeah, when does it? I mean, it is, an emergency is an acute event that happens very briefly and for a specific reason. Now we have chronic mask mandate, not an emergency. This is an ongoing, never-ending, just control of the people. That's all it's about. It's about we can tell you what to do, and you're going to do it. Because you're sheep. And so if you're a sheep, put your mask on while you're driving your car.
Well, it's more not even sheep, but almost kind of a virtue signaling thing, right? That you're virtuous when you wear a mask, and that it's a status symbol, right?
How you're judged, right? And like, I'm not saying COVID is not bad. It is rough on some people. I've had it and had no symptoms. My wife had it. She got pretty sick. My kids had, they got tired, right? I mean, there's no definite sign of how an individual is going to deal with it, but use common sense. And I believe in the people of Alabama that common sense prevails. Mask mandates like we have right now believe that the people are stupid. And I choose to think better of them, that if they are in a situation where they are in close proximity, that they would do what they can to protect themselves and to protect the people around them. I believe that. And I don't think all of our elected officials do. And so they keep these mandates in place.
Ed, let me ask you this. You've seen these political cycles, and right now we have a Democrat president, Democrat-controlled Congress, it seems, 50-50 split the Senate, but the tiebreaker obviously going for the Democrats. But it's these situations where it serves as kind of a wake-up call for us on the right, for conservatives. It seems like maybe we could be headed in that direction. But, I mean, you face the full force of the federal government, and we're involved in state government. Is this kind of a time, are you optimistic we're going to have another one of those kind of awakenings like we saw in 2010 or in 1994?
Yeah, I think the pendulum swings. The problem is, for whatever reason, the left and the socialist agenda is much more patient and concentrated than the conservative side of the aisle. And so the pendulum will swing. We will regain the House. We will regain the Senate because the economy is going to falter. People are going to be out of jobs. Industries are going to be destroyed. And you know, your gas prices are going to be through the freaking roof. And if they get their $15 an hour wage, it is just ludicrous what it's going to do to the economy until it can rectify. And then it's not going to matter, right? In 2 to 3 years, you raise the minimum wage. Once the dust settles and the economics of it rest out, $15 will buy the same thing that $7.50 does right now, right? I mean, that's just the stupidity of a minimum wage. But we have dumb people in charge right now. And so it will swing, but the effects will last longer than their time in office.
Hey, Ed, I know you're tight on time, but I wanted to thank you for making time for us this morning, and maybe we get you on again real soon.
Yeah, absolutely. Just give me a little heads up.
All right. Former state.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks for coming on. Former State Representative Ed Henry on the program. I appreciate him making time for us this morning. We've got an open segment coming up here in just a few minutes. 251-343-0106. Let us know what you think of any of that. But Ed Henry does certainly an interesting story, led the impeachment charge against Governor Bentley, and then shortly thereafter, he faces charges from the government. Eventually took a plea deal for Medicare fraud, but didn't serve any jail time, paid his fine, and then got 2 years probation. Tuesday night, it's news that he has been pardoned by Donald Trump. And even in the statement, says this was done really at the urging of Senator Tuberville. So interesting story there, and we try to keep track of that. Let's turn to the text line here real quick. Let's see. I have an election question that still has not been answered. How come only Democrats are allowed to count ballots and input ballots to machines and not Republicans? It should at least be 50-50. I don't notice that that's a viable solution. What if you live in a place that's all Democrat or all Republican? Let's look at, finding your random bright red, ruby red state. I mean, county in this state. Let's say Winston County, Alabama, has voted Republican in every election since the Civil War. Where are you going to find enough Democrats to handle the ballots? I don't know if that's a logistically available option, but I get where you're coming from. But it's the problem. These Democrat run cities, they elect Democrat election officials, probate judges, circuit clerks, things like that, and that's why you don't really have that. You could never fully have a completely fair system. A name texter, but I don't think you could get half Democrats, half Republicans. What about Libertarians or whatever party? And that becomes a very tough thing to deal with. All right, guys, we're going to get a quick break in here. We'll be right back on the other side. This is the Jeff Moore Show on FM Talk 106.5.
Perhaps I may become a highwayman again.